Andrew, Ms. Goldblum.
Good morning. I'm Marcy Goldblum. May it please the court, counsel. The linchpin of the case that's before us here today is the ALJ's misunderstanding of what Samilla's somatoform disorder is. And that misunderstanding tainted the entirety of her decision, particularly in credibility and in RFC. In Carradine, Judge Posner, you explained that a somatoform disorder is a fancy name for physical distress of psychological origin. The problem here is that the administrative law judge doesn't seem to grasp the most basic aspect of that. And her own words, I think, are most telling. Looking at credibility, the judge says...
Where is this?
Page 24 of the decision, plaintiff's appendix at 10.
Okay.
The judge says, the undersigned has considered the claimant's testimony and cannot find him fully credible. The claimant states that he experiences disabling pain in his joints. However, the record does not indicate any objective findings that would explain this pain. He has had numerous imaging studies and tests, and his treating physicians are unable to determine the cause of claimant's pain. The lack of objective findings is inconsistent with claimant's assertion of disability. The problem is she's not acknowledging there that the basis of the pain is psychological, that it's somatic.
Well, but she goes on in that paragraph to say, claimant's treatment has been relatively conservative.
Okay, but let's look at what she additionally says, and again, tainted by the fact
I heard what you said, but you have to read the whole paragraph.
No, right? I do, and I go...
And in the next paragraph, claimant's reported activities of daily living are also inconsistent with the assertion of disability.
But again, they're not. I mean,
well, that's
let's look at what she says. She says that his
helping someone building a log house sounds...
But you have to look at what was going on.
Healing
in that
logs?
Place. Judge?
Deer hunting? Fishing?
But I couldn't do any of those things. If you look at what was actually going on when he was doing those things, he was involved in the building of the house during a period where he was under high dosages of prednisone, and he was admittedly feeling better. And he explains in terms of the hunting. You know, this is in Wisconsin where deer hunting is incredibly important. He went out for 4 hours, he walked 400 yards, sat on a heated stool or...
Wasn't he following his son's travel hockey squad as well?
He did, actually.
That puts him on the road about every weekend, doesn't it?
And he explained what he did, though. And this is where the judge made a mistake in that you have to look at how these activities are performed. He went and watched the hockey games, and he testified, I can stand up for a period, and his son's hockey games were 12 minutes long, and sometimes he had to sit down during that, and then he'd sit down between periods. So standing up for 12 minutes and then having to sit down, that's consistent with his complaints that I can't make it through a typical work day. And what he also explains is, you know, I try these activities. I tried to go ice fishing. I didn't really do anything but sit there. My friend made the holes in the ice. But then I got home and the next day.
But the problem is that if a person doesn't have, the standard medical reasons for pain, it's just his word, and the administrative law judge has to, draw an inference from the circumstances, and we can't really second guess the weight she would give to deer hunting versus,
But here's the big problem with that. If she had recognized somewhere that the somatoform disorder could cause some degree of this pain.
Well, on page 8 of her opinion, in the first full paragraph, she says, a review of claimant's functional limitations resulting from his chronic pain syndrome and somatoform disorder indicates these are severe impairments as a result in more than minimal limitations on claimant's ability to perform basic work related activities. Isn't that saying something different from what you just quoted from a couple of pages?
I think she's acknowledging it as a severe impairment, but her misunderstanding of the basis of that impairment is what's so troubling. But again, she's recognizing...
I must say I have some difficulty with her opinion because I'm not sure what she says here.
And that is an important problem, because if you can't trace the logically and reasonably from the evidence to her conclusions, then there needs to be a remand. But there's more that in this case that demands a remand. For instance, the judge recognizes that as a result of pain or somatoform or whatever she's going to attribute it to, that he has moderate difficulties with concentration, persistence, and pace. Now, those are psychological, non-exertional limitations, but she doesn't include anything like that in her RFC that she gives to the hypothetical, to the vocational expert.
Maybe she's having the same problem that Judge Posner just referred to. She said it's a little bit severe, but it's not quite so severe or something.
Well, here's the thing, though, Judge. She made the finding that he had moderate difficulties of concentration, persistence, and pace. And as this court has said in Kosarsky and in Young, she can't then just make a vocational conclusion that moderate difficulties in those areas is the equivalent of being able to do unskilled work. She's recognizing a severe mental impairment, but then the only thing that she attributes to that is unskilled work. There's no explanation of how she makes that jump, why she didn't give to the vocational expert limitations that she found. She recognized. She says in her, again, on page 8, appendix at 12, that in giving claimants subjective complaints the benefit of all reasonable doubt, she finds that he experiences moderate difficulties maintaining concentration, persistence, and pace. So she makes that finding, but then that finding doesn't find its way into the hypothetical question that she presents to the vocational expert. So at that point, her ultimate conclusion that this gentleman can perform other jobs, because she does recognize that he can't do his past relevant work, there's not substantial evidence to support her opinion. In addition, her reasons for discounting Dr. Callier's report is problematic. She says she's not going to credit it because it doesn't have objective findings, but it does have the MMPI findings. He did do a mental status evaluation, and as he explained in a later letter, it was consistent with the evidence of record. And in fact, and this is something that the administrative law judge also ignores, her expert at the hearing testified that this is the kind of pattern that you usually see, that somebody has all these complaints of pain, he goes through all kinds of things, and in this case, for instance, the medical expert recognized that treatments with Remicade, Embril, that's not just conservative treatment, that's pretty intense treatment. So that you have this individual who has pain severe pain that's recognized by all of the treating physicians, and the ALJ's decision is at best confusing as to whether she understood the interplay between the somatoform disorder and his perception of pain, and she needs to explain more. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Goldblum. Mr. Guerin?
May it please the Court, James Guerin for the Commissioner. Ms. Goldblum has essentially suggested that the sole evidentiary support for Mr. Simula's claim for disability is the report of Dr. Kaye, which was the report of a psychologist issued 2 months before the hearing at the request of his attorney. Essentially, 3 years of evidence included in the record from Mr. Simula's treating doctors at two clinics, two teams of doctors, including the Mayo Clinic, contained no evidence to support a finding of disability.
Well, in the end, they say that he's got a somatoform problem. So these other doctors are not psychiatrists or psychologists, so what do they know about somatoform problems?
Well, that's true, Your Honor, but it's...
If we are to recognize them, and apparently we are, I find this case very confusing.
Well, the ALJ observed that throughout this treatment, incidentally, the ALJ accepted that there was a diagnosis of somatoform based on Dr. Kaye's conclusory report, but he did also observe that these other doctors never suggested, not only that there was, they never suggested a somatoform disorder, but they never recommended any sort of mental health evaluation or mental health treatment or some sort of provisional diagnosis. And I would just point out that these are, this was a number of different doctors. The only person in the record, in fact, the only one who ever recommended that she obtain mental health evaluation was her attorney, again, 2 months before the hearing in preparation for the hearing. Now, the ALJ stated, I think, in great detail why he rejected the findings of Dr. Kaye. He was concerned that there were no similar diagnoses in the record, but he didn't stop there. He also noted that, she also noted that the doctor's, the limitations indicated by the doctor were unsupported. And there was also some question as to whether Dr. Kaye had adequately even reviewed the record that he claimed to have reviewed. And this was a question that the ALJ raised concerning the doctor's failure to consider the possibility that there was drug-seeking behavior as a possible explanation for Mr. Simula's complaints of pain. There were other reasons that the ALJ found Dr. Kaye's conclusions problematic. One is that he noted that Mr. Simula, after seeing Dr. Kaye, who Mr. Simula now claims finally determined the correct diagnosis, Dr. Kaye made one suggestion to him that he seek counseling, and he admitted at the hearing that he did not seek counseling. The ALJ also pointed out that Mr. Simula followed had very limited limitations set forth in the record by his own doctors. Therefore, what the case rests on, because there isn't really any evidentiary support, is Mr. Simula's own claims and the ALJ's conclusion that his claim that he was disabled wasn't fully credible.
I think that's one of the problems with the ALJ's opinion, is this business of credibility, because she's basing that on the business of he went out and went fishing for 3 hours and then came back and had to sleep it off for 6 hours or something of that sort, which is... doesn't sound to me as if he was in very bad, or it sounds to me as if he was not in very great shape if he had to do that. And, but she says, well, that contradicts his claim to feeling pain. And she also says, well, there's not enough objective evidence of it, but we seem to be talking about a somatoform ailment. So I'm not sure how much objective evidence one would expect to have. So I was not really convinced by her discussion of his credibility. Isn't that just a lot of sparring around about whether it's somatoform or it's not somatoform?
Well, Your Honor, the ALJ was required to make an assessment whether objective evidence supported Mr. Simula's claims under the regulations. That's a requirement. If she had stopped there, that would probably be a problem, certainly in a case of somatoform, as this court observed in Carradine. She didn't stop there, though. She looked at the treatment that he had sought. She found it significant that he did not pursue physical therapy treatment. He went and then he stopped going. The activities, I would suggest, Your Honor, are not as minimal as he suggests. The ALJ was looking at a record that indicated that Mr. Simula was operating a jackhammer. He was going hunting. His hunting, Ms. Goldblum can minimize that, but he hiked several hundred yards into the woods and was hunting for 3 to 4 hours. He was engaged in ice fishing. He went fishing a couple of weeks before the hearing. The ALJ also noted the issue of the possibility of drug seeking. There's evidence in the record.
Yeah, well, there's this aura of drug abuse hanging over this case as well. Nobody makes any findings about it. They just throw it out there every once in a while to sort of create an atmosphere of some sort.
Well, Judge, I think the concern here is that this is a possible alternative explanation for Mr. Simula's complaints of pain. Again, that's not the sole reason that the ALJ discussed. Another reason she was concerned about...
Well, I didn't understand. Is he claiming pain so they'll give him medicine that has some drug ingredients that will satisfy his craving for drugs? Is that what we're talking about? Or are we talking about the drugs themselves will cause the pain? I wasn't too sure which way it worked.
I don't think there was a suggestion, Judge, that the drugs were causing the pain. I believe that the suggestion is that given the fact that he tested positive for cocaine despite denying taking any illegal drugs since he was an adolescent, was simply created an inference that he might be seeking to obtain those drugs for reasons other than relief of pain. In fact, his physical therapy was terminated because of that positive test of cocaine. We believe that the ALJ in this case adequately considered the entire record, including the findings of Dr. Kaye. She balanced.
What about the question to the VE, though, without the inclusion of the patients on persistence?
The ALJ explained that she was that the limitations on concentration that she found resulted in unskilled work. I'm not aware of any evidence, and I don't believe that Mr. Simula has presented any evidence that his limitations in concentration caused any limitations beyond those found by the ALJ.
How does she get to unskilled with those limitations without asking the VE about that?
She did include unskilled, the limitation to unskilled work.
Right.
In her hypothetical question to the vocational expert, she also included environmental limitations regarding no work around hazards or machinery or heights.
Did the vocational expert hear the testimony?
Of Mr. Simula? Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
I see my time is up. We ask the court to affirm the commissioner's decision if there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Guerin. Ms. Goldblum, you have a couple of minutes.
Just a few things, Your Honor. First of all, I think although the vocational expert was present in the hearing room while all the testimony was going on, I think the administrative law judge made clear that the responses to hypothetical questions were supposed to be confined to what was presented in the hypothetical questions. Second of all, in terms of getting to this gentleman's activities, let's look at what his daily activities really were. And if the administrative law judge is going to accept his testimony about what he did on an occasional basis, we have to look at what he did daily basis. He got up with his wife, he took a Vicodin, and he had breakfast with the kids, took the kids to school. By the time he got home from school, he went back to sleep. He slept for 3 hours before he would get up and take a shower. And when the judge asked him, well, do you think you could have taken a shower without taking the nap? He said, well, maybe, but I would have been really sore. It would have been difficult. So we're talking about someone who just getting up, having breakfast, taking the kids to school.
That's if you believe everything he says.
Well, that's true. But what this court has said that if, and again, this is in Carradine, that if the judge was going to believe this gentleman when he's talking about going ice fishing and walking 400 yards when he attempted to go hunting, then she should also explain why then she wouldn't believe his
No, of course, testimony. You're more likely to believe evidence that is against a person's interest than the evidence that's perfectly common, right? Admissions against interest, of course.
Well, I believe think, that. I think
why would you expect them to lie about ice fishing? That doesn't help.
Well, I think if you look, though, about how he really described that, it's all consistent with what he was able to do on an occasional basis, but not a continuing and sustained basis, and that it's certainly consistent with an inability to sustain substantial gainful activity. But I would just, in closing, state that the only record, the only thing that we have at all in terms of evidence from either a psychologist, psychiatrist, was from Dr. Callier. If the ALJ didn't like that evidence, didn't think it was substantial, had questions about it, there were a lot of things that she had at her fingertips. She could have asked for additional. She could have called for a supplemental hearing where she could have had a medical expert with psychiatric training. She chose not to do any of that. She substituted her own opinion for that of the medical expert. We're going to ask that for all of the reasons that were mentioned that you remand this case.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Goldblum and Mr. Guerin. Next case for